previously on the PodMag.
Sorted. We're going to have a professional studio, so we'll get it all up and running. We can record this week's PodMag.
Fantastic.
Okay, so here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Do me a countdown. This is so exciting.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Middleton, I am not recording a stupid program with you anymore. I'm sick and tired of constantly getting my clothes dirty. Look at this heel.
It's power, it says. I didn't know that was going to happen. Oh gosh, give me that fire extinguisher quickly.
You are supposed to be the technical person here.
Well, I didn't know. You're such a drama queen, honestly, Karen. It'll be fine.
Across the room, Dave. I don't think you fully appreciate the severity of the situation.
You didn't fly.
I nearly died.
You didn't nearly die. You leapt to the floor.
Yes, because there was a piece of flying equipment coming at me.
Well, I wasn't to know
Look
that.
Look at
I
me, I'm next, filthy.
Next time there's a bit of flying equipment, I'll tell you there's a bit of a flying equipment.
Well, there won't be a next time.
What do you mean there won't
I'm
be a next
this.
One? What do you think? Don't be so silly. I'll soon have this up and running. I think that if this red one here.
Dave, look, leave this to me for once. Why don't you go back to your department for a little while I calm down, okay?
Right,
go
okay.
Go find someone to interview or something.
Right, well, frankly, I'm a bit fed up with working with you. I'm going to go and talk to someone sensible.
Mm.
It's been no fun at all.
I'll see you in a bit.
Right, bye.
Bye.
I'm in the office of Rhea Pukovnik, who's currently the head of politics and international studies here at the Open University. Rhea, thanks for joining me. Rhea is also the author of Rational Woman, A Critique of Dichotomy. And I want to talk to you today, Rhea, if I can, about the way in which these sort of issues around feminism play out in real time. Now, you just mentioned to me as we were talking before I turned this on and reminded me of David Cameron's recent jibe to a female MP, Angela Eagle, when he told her to calm down, dear, which obviously caused a lot of controversy. Why is that so controversial, do you think?
It's controversial for feminists because it was obviously a jibe, but it was more than that. It was a put down, and as a put down, it tapped into a sort of underlying and persistent sense that women are associated with emotion and hysteria, whereas men are associated with rationality.
Now, in your book, you talk about dichotomy, and particularly those two, rationality and emotion, in which you actually argue they're not the dichotomy that they're sometimes presented as. So how are rationality and emotion two separate spheres?
Rather than set up in a dichotomy where rationality is the good thing and emotion is the bad thing, they're actually implicated in the way each other works. So when you're using your reason, your emotions aren't completely out of the picture. If you're reading an interesting academic article or book, then you're going to have emotions while you're reading it, and which spur you on to get onto the next page. And then on the other side, when we feel things, our emotions, we grow up in our different cultures around the world with a sense of which emotions are appropriate, which emotions are good, which are bad, which are significant, how to interpret emotional behaviour, how to value some emotions rather than others. So my view is that reason and rationality involve emotion. Rationality always has an emotional charge with it, and that our feelings and our emotions are mediated through cultural norms and values.
You wrote your book in 2002 and brought out the second edition in 2012. Clearly, there's still an argument to be had about these dichotomies, and dichotomies seem to be really important in some way. How do you explain the fact that we haven't really moved much beyond those dichotomies?
Well, I think in some ways we have moved beyond the dichotomies. In some ways we have attempted as a society to get beyond dichotomies, but they're very entrenched. A dichotomy is something where you have two things which you see as opposites, and you see them as exclusive of each other, and you see them as together exhausting the whole field of choices, and you see them in hierarchy. So with the reason-emotion dichotomy, it's clear in our culture that reason is valued way above emotion. Reason-emotion maps onto man-woman, and dichotomous thinking and social practices are discriminatory.
Is there any hope? I mean, are we just stuck with these, or is there any chance we're ever going to move beyond that dichotomous relationship?
I think that's a really tough question. I think given that these dichotomies have power structures supporting them, then why would the dominant category, say man, want to give up that dominance? But I think, you know, there have been gains in feminism over the decades, and there are further gains now, and I think it's absolutely fabulous to see young women taking up feminist causes.
But feminism isn't just for women, surely?
No, it's not, and I think that's goes back to why dichotomies are so pernicious, because, you know, if you think of men and women as entirely separate sort of groups, categories, then it's very difficult to think of a way of how men and women can live harmoniously together in a relational way, in a connected way, in a way that respects difference as well as seeing commonalities between them. So, you know, I'd really like to be able to look forward to a time when the connections, the relational kind of connection between men and women was valued more highly than the differences between them.
Oh, that's fantastic. Great ending. Thanks very much for your time, Rhea.
You're welcome.
Oh, that Dave. He really drives me mad. Hang on. What's this green button here with power? Let me try switching that on. Oh, you're back, Dave.
Mm. Yeah.
How was politics then?
No, it was great. Rhea was really great. She's really interested in all that stuff on gender, and her book looks fascinating. I actually might get around to reading a book one day.
Yeah. No, fair point,
hey,
actually.
You got the power on. I knew those two things connecting. That would do it. I knew it. If I just walked away and left it, it would come on.
Yeah, you were right there. I got the power on, Dave. Have you noticed this big button here that says power?
Oh.
Well, all I did was I pushed that and the power came on.
Ah, yes, I was going to phone you to tell you to do that.
Mm.
Yeah, I'd forgotten my...
I've had some time to think as well, and I was really thinking that, in fact, I got the studio working. You know, I'm getting out there talking to all the students and things, and I could really do all this without you.
You've been talking to students?
Oh, yeah, I've done that as well. Hi, Brendan, nice to see you. So you've been involved with the Student Connections Conference. What's been the best bit for you so far?
Well, it's been lots of fun meeting up with lots of different students from all over the place. Do you know what? Those are the online environment. It's brilliant. It's lots of fun. Like, I mean, it is great to be connected to the other students. Well, the online sessions are interesting. I mean, it's strange, actually, you know, being there, but not physically being there. You know, you hear all the voices, and it is kind of cool. Like, you know, because it's on your computer, but there's people there, and they're actually interacting with you, and it feels like I'm actually connected to the Open University rather than just being isolated and on my own.
Hi, Amy. So what are you looking forward to at the conference?
I'm most looking forward to to coming down, because I'm hoping to be here for some of the time that the conference is going on. I'm really looking forward to seeing people's presentations and also looking forward to the end product of our digital storytelling videos. The main thing for me is that this is something really, really different. I go to quite a lot of academic events. I've been to quite a few over the last 2 years. And, you know, nothing like this has ever happened before, you know, involving students at all. I mean, in fact, you know, I often get quite a frosty reception as a student going to lots of things. So this will be nice to actually, you know, be a central part of it rather than a kind of outsider who's, you know, I feel like I've gatecrashed a little bit. You know, this is for us, by us, you know, so there's not going to be any unwelcome feelings or awkwardness at all. I think it's just going to be really, like, casual's the wrong word. I think just comfortable and welcoming is what I'm expecting it to be like.
Hiya, Sarah. Now, you're a first year student. Did you ever think that you might be involved in a project like digital storytelling?
Not in a million years. yeah, just basically because when I started my degree, kind of it all felt very full on. Kind of was suffering a few sort of anxiety issues of my own, and I was just really not in a place where I ever thought I would go. Actually, I'm going to choose to go, you know, from my home to Milton Keynes, meet all these other people that, you know, I've never met before, all completely different to me. And, you know, get really, really stuck in. And I would say to other people, you know, it's well worth it because it's just such a fantastic experience.
Oh, hi, Lucy. Am I glad to see you? Oh, right. So how's your day been and how's everything going for the conference?
Yeah, it's going really, really well. Knackering, but really good. It's coming together really, really well. To begin with, it was like I didn't really have any image whatsoever of anything about what it's going to look like or anything. And it was amazing just going up there because it looked so sort of professional and shiny and big and amazing, really.
Hey, Harley Jack, you are the fan. Okay, so can you come here and tell me, what's been the best bit about the conference so far?
Oh, hi, Karen. I think the best bit for me is having this different relationship with the OU, because we usually only engage with the OU through materials or every so often popping up to a study centre. But with this, it's actually coming down to the OU, really getting enthralled and involved in the activities around the conference. And I just think that element of having something different with the OU and building a strong relationship with these activities has been the best part.
Oh, yeah, they're quite good, quite good. You're not serious. You don't really want to do the PodMag without me. I'm the technical guy.
Well, technically not, Dave. The thing is that, you know, I don't know, after all this, nice as it is to have a studio and stuff, I don't know, I just think maybe I could do it better on my own. I mean, I was talking to the students and I asked them, actually, who their favourite PodMag presenter was, and this is what they said.
I think it's very difficult to choose between you both, but I am going to have to say you, Karen.
Well, that's Harley Jack, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. He's my biggest fan.
Well, strangely enough, I was talking to Harley Jack the other day, and this is what he said when I asked him that question.
Oh, I think that's a very tough one. I mean, it's like a parent choosing between their children, but I'd have to say you, Dave.
Oh, that Harley Jack. Oh, he's as bad as you.
Well, isn't it great to have a studio at last?
Yeah.
I think we'll stay here and do a few more recordings.
Well, I'm not moving anywhere now the power's on. So, yes. Okay, brilliant. Well, that's that sorted. Come along next week, Dave, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay, we'll see you all next week.
Bye.
The Podman!